Okay, never mind. Just leave it there. Leave it there, and she will come here. Okay. Very good afternoon. So now we'll continue with our sharing. While waiting for Tammy, maybe I read to you this book, Understanding the Heart and the Mind. This is our latest launch book. This one is very useful. Can turn to page 3. You don't have the book with you, you can borrow from the back, the blue copy. I will just read one part on the meditation part. Turn to page 3. So this is a typical Thursday class, 27 September 2018. The usual pre-puja offering and chanting of the Theravada tradition commence at 10 p.m. It includes the taking of the three refuges and the renewal of the five precepts, etc. For details, please do listen to the 27th September 2018 audio recording listed on our www.brotherteo.com website. Okay, on meditation session, as usual, we are off the light and have half an hour of silent meditation. I will set the alarm now. So the instruction is very important. You do listen. Just relax body and mind. Completely relax them. Relax means just let it be. Don't do anything. If the mind wants to think, let it think. If your body is in tension, has tightness or stress, just relax it. Feel yourself soothingly relaxed and at ease. When you are at ease, your mind states are beautiful because the energy flows smoothly. When you are not relaxed, you are tense and there is tight tension and tightness everywhere. This leads to stress. When you have problem, when your mind states are not peaceful, it means you are not relaxed, not at ease, and your mind has problem, has issue. Hence, there is restlessness of mind, born of fear, worry, and anxiety. You have something disturbing you, but you are not aware. All this, when you are sensitive, when you have developed your mindfulness, you can feel them. You can become very sensitive towards them. The slightest unhappiness within your form and mind, you will come to know. That is why you cannot be like normal human beings. Become unhappy, angry, upset, fearful, and disturbed. No more. All these are the result of an untrained mind, the heedless mind. Before you have the mindfulness or the awareness, you are not sensitive. Your mind is lost in thought, caught in the heedless thinking, becomes emotional easily. Then because of your wrong view, you stir your mind, you react to sense experience, you hold on to things, worry about them. No amount of fear, worry, and anxiety can solve your problem. So why must you worry? Why do you fear and allow the anxiety to arise? Why not you just relax, calm yourself down, and be at peace to accept the reality of the moment? Try to understand what is happening. With a calm, peaceful, and clear mind, you can look at them objectively and clearly. Then you can make better decisions to resolve them amicably. So meditation is the same. When you are relaxed without any of these disturbances, the mental hindrances are not there. Then your spiritual faculties, if you have developed them, will take over. And your mind will become beautiful, calm, peaceful, and just aware. Meditation is very easy when you understand. that the natural state of mind before the stirring is the meditative mind. So just relax and silence your mind, and the meditative mind will be there. With this understanding, you just learn to relax and silence your mind through letting things be. When you are relaxed and silent, you are at peace. If thought comes, let it arise. It will finally slow down if you do not give it any more meaning. If you understand their characteristic, you will come to understand that thought come and go, they arise and pass away, because they are dependent originating. And without ignorance or avijja, there is no thinking, no sankhara, no mental activity. Because of avijja, there is sankhara. How do we overcome sankhara? We have to root it out. To root it out, we must straighten our views after seeing things as they are. We must let things be and develop the silent mind to understand. When we understand, we are no longer deluded. We will not have avijja. That's how the mind becomes different. With right view, it will lead to right thought, right speech, right action, then right mindfulness, and all the other Noble Eightfold Path factors will fall into place. All these are natural tendencies, and when you understand, you will know how to meditate. For those who already know how to meditate, you can continue. For those who still need to train your mind, you train. You need to decondition your heedless thinking, then just do it with the mind sweeping method. After that, silence everything and relax. If you do not have a proper object of meditation, you can try cultivating mindfulness of the in and out breath, or anapanasati. Anapanasati is very simple. You just relax and silence everything and feel the breathing. Breathe naturally. As long as you are silent and aware, your silent mind awareness will detect the breath. Then, like the Buddha said, breathing in, the mind is aware. Breathing out, the mind is aware. As long as you are aware of the in and out breath, your mind will become peaceful, quiet and calm, and it will settle down into stillness. Then you will experience a type of spiritual calmness and joy called piti. Sometimes it can give rise to ecstasy, or your mind experiences rapture. This is the calm state of mind. When it arises, you continue to relax into it. You can experience the joy, the happiness, the peacefulness of mind. But you must relax into it. Then it will become more refined until you experience the more refined state of sukhang. Sukhang is spiritual blissfulness. Your mind becomes very blissful. Not only is calm, it has joy and is very blissful. You continue to relax into it and remain silent within. From sukhang, it will transform further and become very quiet and still until you hit pasati. Pasati is a tranquility of mind, stillness of mind. It can only arise when all the mundane thinking has stopped. There is hardly any mental movement. Then you will experience the true mind. The true mind is the silent mind, which is the tranquility of mind, stillness of mind. When the mind is not moving and in stillness, that is pasati, which is an enlightenment factor. So you are supposed to train and stabilize your mind to experience this state. When you have realized pasati, that is the beginning of samadhi development. After pasati, if you continue to silence, relax and stabilize it, it becomes samadhi. With sati and samadhi developed while in the midst of life, your mind will be collected and unwavering. Then you can see things as they are to develop the wisdom to awaken. From then on, you will keep on understanding, and you will keep on straightening your view until you have less and less of this wrong thought. That's how likes and dislikes, the duality, the first two mental hindrances of sensual desire, you will get weakened. Because when you have straightened your view, You do not react to sense experience like before, and you do not stir your mundane mind anymore. When your mundane mind is collected and unwavering, it can understand duality, thereby enabling you to see things as they are clearly. Then you can have the wisdom to let things be and be transcend, and you can transcend duality. Then it will understand the conditioned world's nature's law. That is, things are just the way they are within the conditioned world. For everything is conditioned Dhamma, Ichhe Uweifa. And they are dreamlike illusion like a bubble and a shadow, Zumong Huan Taoying, with no reality. After you have penetrated all this, you will realize and awaken. You will understand very clearly the universal characteristics of impermanent, suffering state and empty nature of existence or anatta nature of all phenomena. That is how wisdom comes to be. That is how one awakens and becomes enlightened. Then your meditation becomes different. Okay, I think after that, I end. Now I let you meditate on your own. When the 30 minutes is up, I will ring the bell. You can then slowly and mindfully come out of the meditation. So this book is very good. Yeah? The first part of meditation is really very clear. Then later on, you got the heart and the mind and all those very important topic, the conscience. So you want to know more, you read the book. Okay, now Tammy is back. We get Tammy to read on page 30, part 2, Heart Sutta, lesson 7.
Part 2, Heart Sutra, lesson 7. 2.1. The Bodhisattva, through reliance on prajnaparamita, is unimpeded in his mind. Because there are no impediments, he is not afraid, and he leaves distorted dream thinking far behind, ultimately nirvana. Here, distorted dream thinking means delusion, condition, inverted thinking. That is taking the unreal to be real and vice versa. This verse is so beautiful. 2.2. All Buddhas of the three periods of time attain Anuttara Samyak Sambodhi through reliance of prajnaparamita. Therefore, know that prajnaparamita is a great spiritual mantra, a great bright mantra, a supreme mantra, an unequaled mantra. It can remove all suffering. It is genuine, not false. That is why the mantra of prajnaparamita was spoken. Recite it like this. Gate, gate, para gate, para samgate, bodhi swaha. Here, prajnaparamita means the perfection of wisdom cultivation, and Anuttara Samyak Sambodhi means the perfection of Buddhahood. This is even more beautiful. 2.3. Therefore, in emptiness, there is no form, feeling, perception, mental activities, or consciousness. No eyes, ears, nose, tongue, mouth, body or mind, no sight, sound, smell, taste, tactile and mental forms, no feel of the eye up to and including no feel of my consciousness, and no ignorance or ending of ignorance up to and including no old age and death or ending of old age and death. There is no suffering, no cause of arising of suffering, no extinction of suffering, and no Noble Eightfold Way, and no understanding and attaining. This verse appears like very contradictory to normally taught Dhamma, hence the beauty and uniqueness of this Heart Sutra. Reason why it is always expressed as true emptiness is wonderful existence. That is, when one is able to understand the profound true emptiness as taught in the Heart Sutra, even existence or life becomes wonderful and very meaningful.
Then existence and life become wonderful.
Then existence or life becomes wonderful and very meaningful and beautiful. Hence, there is no contradiction because on the one side is taught the conditioned Dharma within the conditioned world. Then there is the realization of the unconditioned Dharma, which is the understanding of the true emptiness as taught by the Heart Sutra. The unconditioned Dharma as explained by the Buddha is beyond thought and beyond time. Hence, no words, no concept, no ideas, and no this and no that, which imply cannot be spoken or expressed like the great Tao. Part 3. Meditation 3.1. Brother Teo conducted a review on the compilation of emails notes as written by him to various Buddhist groups or Dharma friends in the early years with the title Understanding the Meditation as Taught by the Buddha, so as to enable the cultivators of the Buddha Dharma to have a better understanding of the key important Dharmas as constantly emphasized by the Buddha. They are 1. Importance of understanding Dhammapada verses 1, 2 and 183, verses 21, 22 and 23, and the Buddha's final advice to all the monks before his final parinibbana. These verses are classified under the words of wisdom of the Buddha immediately after the content, introduction and acknowledgement sections. Number 2. The importance of understanding the true significance of the Four Noble Truths as expressed by the Buddha as the equivalent to the handful of leaves as emphasized by him at Kosambi in the Simsapa Grove over 2,500 years ago to the monks then so as to enable them to stay focused in their cultivation. Otherwise, the chances of deviation are very high and probable. Number 3. The importance of understanding what is meditation as explained under email number 2 and 3. Number 4. The importance of developing the three types of corresponding wisdom of Sutta Maya Panya, Chinta Maya Panya, and Bhavana Maya Panya that will arise while cultivating the three turning of the Four Noble Truths as taught by the Buddha. Via his first sermon, the Dhamma Cakkappavattana Sutta, email number 4.
Good. So next chapter, next page.
Chapter 8, Heart Sutta Class. Part 1. Recapitulation and emphasis on the previous lesson. 1.1. Question 1. Can you teach me how to meditate? Brother Teo replied, this is the most common question, but also the most common mistake, because it is a wrong question to ask. When you ask this question, you expect the teacher or instructor to give you a method and a technique to meditate, right? And this sounds very logical, isn't it? But what is a method? It is only a series of instructions to do certain things, right? Like training the mind to be mindful and heedful so that it is in the moment, silent, peaceful, and aware within, or to train the mind to develop concentration, etc. And more often than not, the method or technique taught never defines the meditation. So isn't it more important to understand what is meditation? Only then do we know how to develop it. So whatever that appears logical may not necessarily be the truth or right question to ask. Note: Unless you understand what meditation is, you will not be able to develop it. All methods and techniques given are only an initial skillful means meant to help train the mind to be heedful or in concentration. They are only a series of instructions given to initially train the mind so that it is not heedlessly lost in thought or preoccupied with what it is thinking or feeling. The purpose of meditation is to train the mind to be heedful, then to use it to see things as they are, to develop the wisdom and to understand how the five mental hindrances can hinder your mind from returning to its original state of silent inner awareness and peace before its stirring. Do not fight the mental hindrances or force it to go away, but instead, just develop the corresponding five spiritual faculties of mind, especially sati and samadhi, as taught by the Buddha, to arise the wisdom to counter them. For the Dharma is beyond thought and beyond time. Heedfulness is without thought, hence without psychological time. Brother Teo always advises us to diligently cultivate the five spiritual faculties because they are key to the development of the 37 factors of enlightenment. They appear twice within the 37 factors of enlightenment. 1.2. Question 2. What about those who believe in chanting? Can chanting itself bring about enlightenment? Brother Teo replied, yes, it can. Provided you know how to chant with very strong faith, clear mindfulness and understanding, then it can also bring about cultivation of the five spiritual faculties of mind, sadha, viriya, sati, samadhi and panya, leading to the enlightenment. So don't be rigid or dogmatic to simply comment when you still cannot understand other people's practices or cultivation, especially those of the Mahayana and the Pure Land tradition. Their Buddhas and their great Bodhisattvas vow are very powerful, and they can help those who are sincere to connect to their vow, enabling them to develop their cultivation so much faster. Whatever you do in life, and if you know how to develop it with understanding, then it can bring about a transformation too. For life itself is the meditation, while the cultivation of the daily mindfulness, which is the cultivation of sati sampajanya. 1.3. Some important truths that Brother Teo has learned from his teacher, Pra Ajahn Yantra Amaro Bhikkhu, a very wise and famous Thai monk during the early years of his cultivation, 1988 to 1992. Number 1. Mind is mind, body is body. Body is never the mind, and the mind is never the body. But body is important too, because both body and mind must harmonize to help us live life and develop the meditation, and we choose to take care of mind because mind is more important. Number 2. We choose accept everything as natural because only form and mind and mighty nature rolling by, not so real and not what you want things. Number 3. We choose contemplate all dharmas until they are very, very clear. Importance of second turning wisdom. Number 4. The highest or real meditation, we choose aware of all actions and all movements in the present moment. Daily mindfulness meditation in daily life. Number 5. Importance of having a good daily religious routine to train the mind to cultivate puja, metta, and meditate every day. Number 6. Importance of constantly cultivating the five spiritual faculties of mind and keeping of the five precepts.
Okay, I will elaborate a bit. So this section 1.3, these are the six important advice that I learned from my first Theravada teacher. He is a Thai monk. He was very famous during his time. So I used to follow his sharing. I recorded them. Then I keep on listening. Then the important thing that I learned was the first one. At that time, I was still in the midst of cultivation. Then I need to know something about the mind. Nobody can explain to me until I met him. Then he gave me the first breakthrough. He said, mind is mind, body is body. Body is never the mind. The mind never want the body. But body is important too, because both body and mind must harmonize to help us live life and develop the meditation. And we choose take care of mind because mind is more important. So because of this advice, there was one day when I was meditating. I was on the 8th precept, I remember, the year 1988, around there. After a long period of sitting, suddenly there is a very severe pain. I know how to relax, but the pain was so severe. Then the thought, very cunning, the thought suddenly arises and tell me, you better get out of the meditation. You can get into trouble, you may paralyze. That thought came, no? That thought is the egoic thought, no? Then I reflected. I said, my teacher told me, mind is mind, body is body, body never the mind. Then I determined to believe that thing that I learned from my teacher. Then I tell myself, mind and body are two different things. Mind is mind, body is body. Body never the mind never the body. So you know what I did? I continue to relax and I continue to sit. And I tell myself something like, I'm not going to get out from that seat until I understand what this is. So I relax, I sat. The pain becomes so severe. Luckily, because of that understanding, I continue to endure. Then I realize when I start to endure, I didn't create any aversion against the feeling, the sensation, the pain and all those things. So what happened was, after I was able to go through it, all of a sudden there's a flash, very bright light in my mind. Just flash through. Then there's a total shift of consciousness. Then my mind becomes so bright. Then my mind is separated from the body. Then I saw the mind is the mind. The body is the body. Then I remember at that lake there where the pain was so intense. So I wanted to check, what happened? But all of a sudden, the mind becomes so bright, full of virya and very, very mindful. Then I went down and checked. Then I saw the pulling sensation, all those things, although without word, that thing, because that flow of qi was not there. So, trapped. But I realized the pulling sensation was the pulling sensation, the mind was the mind, the two are separate now. Then I realized, hey, because of attachment, the delusion, it grabs, then it thinks the body is you. That's why you worry about it, having problem. Then you think the pain is you. You are in pain. Then that delusion no more. Well, after that, the mind becomes so brave. Because it went through that experience, the understanding. Then from that day onward, 1988, until even now, whenever I sit, I got never develop any pain. I never develop any problem at all. Unless the cushion become very thick and all those things that I'm not used to, then I will develop some uncomfortableness. But I can endure if I want to, but no point. So because of that, I have the first breakthrough. Then I realize what the Buddha teach, the jnana knowledge. The first jnana, they always say, you are able to have the insight, the wisdom, to understand mind is mind, body is body. Because that insight knowledge is nama rupa pariccheda jnana. Then I realized that one is not what the book say. The book say, you have a body, you have a mind. The mind is the knowing element. He said, the mind is the knowing element that know the form. So when you have that, he said, you already have the first jnana. No, not like that. The real one is, when the mind really separate, nama rupa paricena jnana means, you can understand that the mind is mind, the body is body, the two are different. Yes, so after that, from that day onward, until now, I got no problem with pain. I got no problem with meditative problem, like pain and all those things. And I just relax into it, then no more. Then the body become normal again. So all this understanding, you need to go through the real meditative training and experience and find out. If my mind have rejected that feeling, like I label it as painful feeling and I don't like that feeling, I can never break through. It's because I accepted it, I endure, and with the understanding that body is just a body, mind is mind, the two are different. So I was so brave, I endure, I relax. Then all of a sudden it flashed through. And the moment it flashed through, that so-called pain or whatever, completely gone, no? Completely gone. Then I was like amazed. Wow, how come so wonderful? After that, no more of this pain and all those things. In fact, Longta Mahabodha, he also mentioned in his book, Straight from the Heart. Now you go and read. He also break through pain in a similar way. That's why after that, he said pain got no more problem for him. He understand that he can sit through, no more problem. So this part I want to share so that you all understand. Then the other five are also very important. Number two is very profound. We choose accept everything as natural. You know the deep meaning or not? I accept everything as natural means what? It's all subject to nature's law, isn't it? That's why everything that happens is the reality. So if I can accept everything as natural, means I'm always at peace. You understand? That's why he used another word. And when I heard it, I was so full of joy. Then I reflected on it. Then I understand what he mean. He said, because only form and mind. Form and mind, not you. Understand? They arise, they pass away. Everybody has a form and mind. So if it's just form and mind, then everything following nature's law, that's why he said, only mighty nature rolling by. So not what you think, not so real. And this is how that wisdom allow me to break free and understand many things. So I start to develop the ability to accept everything as natural. But earlier on, I already have the earlier contemplation through the Buddha's teaching. He said we have to learn to see things as they are. So that one came from my personal contemplation. Then I realized if seeing things as they are means I do not allow my brain, my conditioning, my views, my opinion to interfere. Because I don't act according to memory, conditioning. I use my direct seeing to see. So I see things as they are. Then when I see things as they are, I apply the Dhamma. Then I realize the world is the world. People are just the way they are. Deluded people do deluded things. Angry people say angry things. Selfish people do selfish things. Then I realize this is beautiful. With this, I'm at peace. Oh. Then it ties in with this Prajan, my teacher's sharing. So it becomes like very clear to me. So with this understanding, you will have wisdom. Then from then onward, after 1988, my mind become very different. That's why not long within the year 1989, it went through the whole thing and understood the whole thing. Then number three, the advice also very important. This one, I met him quite a number of times. But on six occasions, he keep on reminding this one. Every time he see me, he will remind me. We choose contemplate until very, very clear. That time I didn't know about the three turning. No. Contemplation was the second turning. I also didn't know. But I just follow his advice. And I keep on contemplating on the Dhamma, the understanding of the teaching. Then after I did that, I realized I understand so much deeper. No. My understanding stabilized. No. Because when I contemplate, I reflect on life. Then I relate my experience to understand the teaching. Then it falls into place. No? It's just like the first noble truth. Birth is suffering. Old age, sickness and death is suffering. So you have to inquire, why did the Buddha say that? Is birth really suffering? Because to a lot of people, having a, like Richard told us, going to give grandpa already, having a newborn child is joy, isn't it? Happiness, isn't it? Well, he is going to be the grandpa, you know, the grandchildren. Then the parent also very happy, you know, first time becoming father, mother. Then looking forward to what? Full moon day and all those things, celebration, naming the child. Then anxiously waiting for the child to be born. Then why did the Buddha say birth is suffering? Then I reflect. Oh, when there is complication, really suffering. When you are confronted with a very severe dilemma, when suddenly, before the birth can take place, the doctor come out. He say, can I know who is the related one or the husband? Then suddenly, you go in front and say, yeah, I am. Then the doctor say, you have to decide. Again, choice. Yeah. I can only save one. Your wife or your newborn child. I tell you, you think that choice is easy? Yeah? Do you have to make that choice? You have to, if the doctor asks you. So if you have the understanding, the good karma, you will not be confronted with this. But what the Buddha is trying to tell you is this is a noble truth. Not everything is the way you want it to be. It can go other way. Because suddenly the birth got complication like Angulimala met. Bridge. Bridge means what? Yeah? The head didn't come out first, isn't it? Horizontal. So, how? Not easy. Then sometimes the doctor say, have to operate. Luckily now surgery, medical science is more advanced. Can cesarean open up. Last time, the head don't come out, very difficult to deliver the baby and all those things. Then sometimes after they are born, they develop complication, hole in the heart. Then some with jaundice. At least jaundice is not so serious. Then other type of complication. That's why it's not easy. Then when I reflect, I realize, hey, before that, when the mother carry all this, I quite close to my wife, she shared the experience with me. Then I saw morning sickness, the vomiting and all things. Then when you are pregnant, you have to do a lot of things differently because your body out of shape. You have to be careful. Then you have to be very accommodative. Certain type of food you cannot eat. Then you have to actually abide by a lot of things. Then prepare yourself, understand the birth process, all those things. Then especially before birth, when the water bag bursts, if you never deliver before, nobody tell you anything, you know what you will do or not. You panic, you think the baby coming out. Actually, not yet. My mother very experienced, delivered 10. He very smart. When water bag bursts only, he tell my father, get ready, all those things that I already packed, call me a taxi. That time is tri shot. Then she alone, like that, with the water bag burst, go to the hospital. It's a few hours after that only deliver, not immediate. So we all don't know as men. So a lot of things, when you contemplate, you start to understand. Then they go through the phase where the baby kicked them and all those things. Then they are happy because they are going to have the baby. They love the baby. And the baby can kick means it's alive. Understand? It suddenly cannot kick. They worry. How come no movement? It cannot kick already. So these are life experiences. So you have to contemplate. You have to reflect. That's why I did a lot of that. Then I didn't know. It was because of that it prepared me to receive truth, the second turning wisdom. Then after that, very fast I understand Dhamma. Understand even the Maya Sutta and all those things. So it was because of that contemplation that the stability of understanding arise. So this is the part, that's why the first turning and the second turning, they give rise to the initial wisdom, is very important. It set the base for you to receive truth after that, especially the third turning, meditative. So this one is the third one. The fourth one, this one also helped me to break through. When he told me one day that the highest meditation, I thought something fantastical. That he just said this. We choose aware of all action and all movement in the present moment. I asked myself, this is the highest? I thought must sit, must concentrate, must focus. Then because I did anapanasati, then all of a sudden, he tell me something else. Then I suddenly relate to daily mindfulness. That's why I remember in my early day in the university when I was doing anapanasati, I actually went too deep. I went into absorption. That's why I experienced all those jhanic state and very strong calmness and all. Then after that, my mind like enlightened. But actually that one is a fake one. At that time, I was still studying. Then later on when I graduated, I came out and worked, I start to touch money. Then I realized inside move again. There is greed. I want to also study part-time, become a lawyer. So that I can enhance my career. Then I want to go for master degree. Then I realized, what is all this? Means it still has the craving, it still stirs. Then when I touch money, all of a sudden, the outlook is different now. You want to achieve financial freedom. You want to have the confidence of having enough money to assure you of a good life. Then I realize, what is all this? Then I remember the analogy that the Buddha mentioned. The cup, when there is sediment, if you don't stir, the sediment will sink down, the water like clear. So this sediment is actually your defilement. They have not been rooted out yet, but they are dormant because they cannot arise when you are in a state of absorption and concentration. In a conditioned state of mind. And because of that, I realized this is not the way. Then I try to release the concentration and come out into normal awareness. Then when I heard him mention this, I straight away linked to the daily mindfulness. Then I knew where I went wrong. Then I have faith in him. I immediately changed my cultivation. I released out the concentration, absorption. Then I go into daily mindfulness. At that time, I also already met Master Xuanhua. taken the refuge. So all the timing were together. Then after I did the bowing, then the daily mindfulness just came. Within 2 weeks, the daily mindfulness just came. So all this just happened. Then after that, the rest is history. So up to number 4 is all very good. I learned from it. Then number 5, I realized this advice also very good. A good daily religious routine. And I follow him. I told you all before that every day before I sleep, I meditate. Then I share merit. Then I pay my respect. Then I lie down and sleep. Sometimes I wait till very late at night, then only I meditate. I sleep first, then I come down. At about 2 a.m. or 2:30 a.m., I will meditate. And after that, I go back and sleep. The sleep is like very light, very easy, where I was mindful, aware. Then, when I wake up, the first thing I do is pay respect, triple gem. Then I meditate again. Then I clean up, get ready, develop daily mindfulness, pay respect to my author before I leave. Then I go to office, I go there early, first hour I arrive, I again meditate. Then lunch break, if I got the time, I will meditate. Then after office hour, if I want to stay back for a while, I will meditate for 1 hour or what, then only I drive home. So throughout the day, it is the meditative routine. Daily religious routine. That's why after that, I progressed very fast. I was still working. That's why life itself is a meditation, I know. You can be mindful in a meditative state while living life, while working, while having a family, while doing your daily chores. Not a problem at all. And it can be done. So number 5, also very important. Number 6 is just something he told me that I added in. He said the spiritual faculty is very important. But he didn't explain to me that the opposite pair, the hindrance, they are connected. He didn't say anything about that. That one I came to understand myself. Okay. Tammy, continue.
The key to understanding meditation is to understand that the body and mind just harmonize and be in a state of constant relaxed inner awareness to develop the meditation. And because the mind is trapped inside this physical body of ours due to our karmic conditioning, so whatever the body experiences, the mind will also experience them via the mental consciousness. This is the reason why the form and mind can experience suffering conditioned by one's karma if wisdom is not developed as yet. To truly become enlightened, one must have the understanding to transcend birth and death of the segmented life of ours. The famous quotes of Venerable Master Guang Qing are 过去心不可得, the past is already gone, so not a reality anymore. 未来心也不可得, the future has yet to come, so it is also not a reality. And 现在心也不可得, the present moment cannot also be held onto as not a reality too, even though it is the highest in life or within existence, because the moment you know or experience it, it is already gone, hence no longer the present moment.
Because the present moment is so fragile, so like very, very short, understand? Momentary only. So how real can it be? And that is the highest in life, you know, that is the only reality in life. And yet the present moment is just split second gone, split second gone. If that is the only reality and the highest in life, then how real is life? That's why it's not what you think. And this monk is a very wise monk from China, Guang Qing, Lao He Sang actually, Guang Qing. So when I heard the Kai Si Lu, when people recite this, I was full of joy because I understand what he said. 过去心不可得，现在心也不可得，未来心也不可得。So immediately I realized that all these three are still within existence. You understand not? Within life, within existence, within the conditioned world. So even though the present moment is the highest in life and the most important, but to transcend life, what must you do? Huh? You have to transcend even the present moment, isn't it? If you are still stuck with the mindfulness and the present moment, you cannot transcend life. You cannot be liberated. That's why your mind must cease. Cessation of form and mind. Even the present moment also, no more. Otherwise you cannot transcend life. Yeah. Okay? Yeah, continue.
So in order to transcend life of birth and death, 了生死, one must transcend even the present moment, which is still within existence and life itself. As we all know, the moment is the only apparent reality in life, and as real as it can be, it is only within the moment, and the very next moment it is dead and gone, or no more. And the next moment arises and passes away again and again, hence impermanent, empty, and not so real or anatta.
So this is clear, very clear. You have to reflect and contemplate. The reality is just like that, not what you think. The only reality. But split second is dead and gone. Split second is dead. So moment to moment life passes by. What are you doing? And life is not what you think. It's momentary. Momentary. It's just consciousness, thought. Moment to moment. So when you reflect and contemplate, then you like wake up. Why am I fighting for all this through delusion? What is all this going on? The human being, the deluded people, they must be crazy because they don't understand this. To them, everything is so real. No? Everything also you must grab on it, hold on to it, own it, or have power, authority over it. No? You look at all the politicians, the government politicians and all those things. And even within the society, there are a lot of crazy people after all the crazy thing. When you don't have that insight, that Dhamma, that understanding, you will be deluded by the phenomenal world. That's why your mind will grasp or cling or hold. And a lot of things to you is like very important. That's how delusion... Kevin, yeah. For the recording,
I would like for some clarification. In the earlier example where you used the word greed, the example given was that after you graduate and then you desire to do masters and you desire to do law.
Yeah.
Now, how does that relate to greed? But isn't that if you need to
okay,
be
okay?
I
understand your question. A lot of people ask me similar question before. Thank you. Kevin. Okay, I explained to you. So what you all mean is it wrong to have ambition? Correct or not? To do well? To do better? To have better qualification? Nothing wrong. Ambition is not craving. But mine is not ambition. Mine is motivated by what? That one is not ambition, really. Your ambition to become a doctor, but not to cure people, like Richard said. That one is all with ulterior motive, understand? With the self wanting to be famous, wanting to be what? So what you have to understand is, You can have ambition, but you have the Dhamma, the Sangha. Like I become civil engineer, I don't intend to have greed. Because I know the reason why I choose civil engineer was from my past. Because this is a career that I can help the world, the humanity, and do a lot of things for people. Because I have this conscience, I have this other. That's why wherever I went, I work, the owner or my boss, they all fatat on, they make a lot of money on. But we don't cheat. And I don't want to go against all the deceitful way of it. No. That's why I refuse to become a contractor. My whole career path, I don't want to be a contractor. I only became a contractor when I was training as a third year student. Wait. I will explain the whole thing. No, I will explain the whole thing. Because you cannot see, your mind is not sensitive. What are you motivated behind that intent? There is something that motivates you to do that, isn't it? What is that motivation? If it's something to do with your personal egoic status and all those things, money, wealth, to become famous, then all this is part of greed. Understand? Even though subtle, not the very severe type, understand? But of course, if you will become unethical because you are motivated by money, then that one is quite bad. Understand? Because if you do that to people, you know what happens in future life, you will go and see that type of doctor who will also slaughter you, give you the wrong advice, motivated by money and greed. But if you are a good doctor, very sincere, help people, not really motivated by money, but you must not get confused. The whatever profit margin or charges that you want to charge is up to you. As long as you don't deceive people and don't cheat people, you understand not? The profit margin, you are entitled. If you believe your service is good, you want to charge like that, there is nothing greed behind. You understand? But if you charge and yet you lie and deceive, even you charge lower, it's considered deceitful. Understand? Like you promote the pharmaceutical company's product just because they got kickback. Sometimes among doctors, they got kickback or not. You recommend patient to a specialist. They will give you kickback one, no? But it's not official. You don't know about it. They do it among themselves. There's a lot of this thing going on. So it's a personal thing. That person himself must have that understanding. Not worth to do all this. No point. So what I want to let you understand, I know your question and your direction you are trying to drive at to understand. Because to you, this is very common. Everybody is motivated by something. Otherwise, they don't want to do. So to you, it's like one thing to like develop a better qualification, so that I can do better in my career, so that I can make more money. It's nothing wrong. It's very natural. Understand? Everybody look forward to that. Otherwise, why do you study? But for me, when I did that, somehow inside my nature, I felt it, hey, how come I still got craving? It is craving, to become successful, to become financially free. I can get all this, no need through all this craving, That's why I gave up a lot of things. Do you know, because of my understanding and my ability, if I were to follow what people do, if I go into construction, if I go into all those fields that can make a lot of money, I will become very successful. I will become very, very wealthy, I tell you. But I don't want. Because this is what I understand. That's why I don't make that choice. I said, people will go that way. I got a lot of classmates who went into construction. They become very successful. But that is where the big money is. Understand? But construction come with what? A lot of under-counter, entertainment, bribery, everything. I don't want to get involved in that. Then every job I go, I talk to the owner and the boss. I don't want to do PR on. I don't want to get involved with all this on. I only do work technical. And I will handle it my way through my under. I never cheat, I never cut corner, all those things. Not my way. I can help you to save money for the project. But all must be legal, legitimate, righteous. That's what my nature is. And I knew I can become successful because of that. Because later on, I don't depend on engineering to have financial freedom. I'm very good at maths, arithmetic, figures. That's why I can make money from investment. When I retire, I do investment. That is the field I like to do. And I'm very good at it. So it's your understanding. Nothing wrong to have ambition, but your ambition should not be motivated by especially money, greed, understand? But if you are a true professional and you want to charge higher fee because you feel that your service is at that level, no harm. As long as you don't cheat and don't deceive and don't lie, understand? Not? Don't go and sell the product which is not according to what the product describes. Especially salesmen, they tell me, Fatio, if I become salesman, that fourth precept very difficult to keep. No? You undertake. Wait, the mic. never mind, tell me, sit next to you.
So I was just referring to this morning's notes where you say steadfast in virtue. So if the young one is steadfast in virtue and the virtue is towards learning skill and from the skill...
What virtue?
But earlier on from the...
Steadfast
in virtue. Not meh? Not...
Steadfast. Steadfast in virtue. Yeah, correct.
So if his virtue is towards polishing up his skill sets in which is relevant
for workplace... That is not virtue. You know what is virtue or not? Virtue is goodness. Not for self.
Even if you are hardworking, isn't that a virtue? Dedication
is a... No, that is not virtue. Diligence is not virtue. Virtue is your kindness, your gentleness, your respect, your contentment. All these are virtue. But diligence is not virtue. It's part of that character in you. You want to be hardworking. Motivated by what?
You want to learn the skill set, ma?
Yeah, la.
So you learn the skill set. So
it's for who? For you, la. Virtue is to help others, understand? Not? Kind
start
to
with
people.
Yourself first. If you are yourself not okay, aren't you a problem to society? It got to start with us, right?
Wait, careful. You see, when it comes to virtue, that meaning is very deep. Virtue is not for your own need. That is not virtue. Virtue is some personality or some character in you that can be of a blessing to all. That is virtue. Means you are a virtuous person. But to work hard, to be successful, that is not virtue. Understand? That is what you want. You understand? Nothing wrong with that, as long as you are not motivated by greed. Sometimes they want to improve their, enhance your ability to do better in your career. Okay? So you go for, they call what? MBA is one of them, but there is one continuing education. You continue to educate yourself. Understand? And I can tell you, you tell me frankly, all the continuing education course, does it help you or not? In what way?
for me, my job is counseling. Of course, it helps me. I begin to take a different perspective of looking at things.
Okay, fair enough.
I begin to see things in a different, what other counselors share, what they go through, which I personally may not have gone through.
Correct.
Of course, they bring in their techniques. They bring in their way of questioning.
Correct.
Which we learn. And we also use to practice. But of course, eventually when we go to see the client by client, you realize that everyone is different. So some techniques doesn't work, some techniques work. But then you're in the room. You need to have all the techniques ready to plug
correct.
On your database.
So,
you see?
What you are trying to tell me is, you go to this continuing education, you hear other people do certain things, you got more idea. Correct or not? You got more idea. But I can tell you one thing. Unless you go into that field yourself and study that field that people do, you can never apply it. You understand? But what he say, but he has done it. Understand or not? But you knew, you know, you take back, wow, this person say, oh, very good, I must approach like that. But you are so new, you know, you think that one work or not? Doesn't work. That's why I went to all this continuing education. I realized, with whatever understanding I have, I am better than all those things. Understand or not? Unless I want to pursue further, then I will listen to what he say, then I will go and Google and went into that field and understand it, and then only I apply it. Then it's useful. You understand? It's just like Dhamma. You hear from me, correct or not? You got more idea. Next time you know how to counsel your client, your student, and all those things. But can you really apply it? But you don't have the experience, understand or not? You don't have the in-depth understanding. That's why you told me, still learning, ma. Haven't gone in, ma. It's the same. So what you need to understand, all this continuing education, unless you are serious, you want to pursue it, after you hear and learn, you must go into it. Understand or not? To make yourself really good at it, then only you can apply. Otherwise, you can't apply. But what is important is, everything that arises within your mind, I point to the heart because I use the heart, I use the conscience. But you are all motivated by the brain, understand? The thought. Understand? And the thought is egoic. And most of egoic living beings who are not enlightened, they are motivated by greed, by their own personal selfishness. They can't see. But to them, it's nothing wrong. I want to become a better engineer, a better counselor, a better... They say better, better, better. But behind, the real motivation is status, money, pride, and all these things. So you have to check when you are in this spiritual field, you will have this quality called upright conduct. You are very righteous. You never do all those things. They're not worthwhile. One. If you do, in future, you become the victim. You will go and consult this type of people, and they will do all those things that you do to people back to you. It's like medium who cheat people, the quack doctor and all those things. So because you do this, you deceive, you cause people suffering. In future, when you come, you have problem, you will go and see the bogus one, same as what you do to people. And this bogus one will cause you that misery and suffering. You understand? That's why when you have the Dhamma, when you have the spiritual understanding, you will never do all those things. Because you are righteous. You are very righteous. You are very noble in every aspect of thing that you do. You cannot have that thought, that negativity or deceitful thought. Cannot. And you are very sensitive. The motivation, what is it? You are very sensitive. That's why at that time, immediately after I graduate, when I have that type of thought coming out, I realize something is wrong. Well, when I was in the uni, I thought I transformed already. Well, my metta was very strong at that time. Then my mind very calm, very still. But the anusaya are suppressed, hasn't rooted out. So when I came out to work, then I realized this one move again. No. My stillness, my calmness, everything start to move again. No. Then the thought come out. No. Then I want to do this, I want to do that. No.
Just for me to understand myself.
Yeah,
I went to do some CSR, means I go to T Ratana. So we do our contribution, and one of the few issues when we go and help orphanages or old folks home is we realize these people do not want to help themselves.
So what do you do?
We cannot, we just listen, like I was just talking to this 13-year-old girl.
Okay.
And we tell her, how are you doing in school? Of course, she's feeling terribly. Then we say, would you be interested if I get students to come and help you? He said, 不要给我这么多麻烦, 要给我这么头痛. Okay, never mind. She says, school is no good. Would you be interested in sewing classes? 不要, So we also realize, how do we motivate a kid like that? How do we want to change?
That's why you have to learn another aspect of Dhamma. When there is no condition, don't poke your nose in. Understand? When people don't want to be helped, when there is no condition, you are not at that level to help, don't poke your nose in. You get yourself into trouble. That's why they say, 不要, 不要, 不要. 我不要. What can you do? Everything also 不要.
Correct. That's why in the university, we have this thing called the awareness campaign. You don't know what you don't know, ma. So we go out and we tell them that these are the things that are there. Is there an awareness for them to bring it inside? But if we don't even do that first step, there'll be no change taking place. Because everybody say, 你不要我就不做咯. Then there's no change. So
okay.
For things to happen.
Okay. So you bring out a very good topic. You believe that approach, awareness campaign, everything is going to help. It depends on the person who do it. If he has the understanding, he or she has the understanding, then it can work. But he or her who has the understanding, when they go for this awareness campaign, they are not very rigid one ourselves. When they know that you are not keen to listen to all this, they respect you. They don't go and push. But if you want to go and push, thinking that because you are on this job, you want to help people, then you are going to be miserable, I tell you. Because if there is no condition to help, you don't understand their coming, everything, and the psychological thinking behind, you cannot. You will get yourself entangled for nothing. And you will receive a lot of this, 我不要, 我不要. Then you end up miserable. Your thought will tell you, what is these people doing? I come all the way, offer my service, free some more. And they don't appreciate they did this to me. Means you still have the ego. You still don't understand God condition, only do. No condition, don't do. Understand? Not? Because like a lot of Buddhists, they think like you, know, must do good, law. These people suffer, must help. You know what I will tell them? The whole world is full of suffering people. Why don't you go India, go all those African countries? You got enough money to help or not? The whole world is full of suffering people. But when there is no condition to help, just let it be. Because some prey on your so-called good-hearted foolishness. Chief Reverend always say, don't be a good-hearted fool Buddhist. Because they prey on your compassion, your love. Then they come, they pretend. That's why they pretend to be like miserable. Then they beg. And you say, Korean. Give. Then after that, you see them go behind, change to a new clothes, take a taxi, go karaoke, go everywhere. You don't know. Understand? Not? Then they have more money than you, actually, some. But you don't know. So there are a lot of this type of thing around. So you cannot believe what your eyes see. You have to have wisdom, understanding, Dhamma, to feel, to understand. Then you know how to act. You know how to act.
The desire versus non-desire. So if a person desire to move forward, I thought that's a good virtue, but it's not a virtue.
I'm explaining to you. You see, you use the word desire, which is a wrong word. Desire is a craving. Understand? I desire something. I crave for it. But if I say it's an ambition, my ambition is to become this. Then it's pure, understand? This is my ambition to become a doctor. But I don't go and take shortcut lah. I don't go and take fake degree lah. The university that generate that type of degree money can buy on. That is deceiving, understand? So if you really genuinely know that the system is such, you have to go through all the exam, go to the university that have the recognition of the degree, then you do it, you pass, and then the ambition is genuine. So you become a really qualified counselor, or you become a qualified engineer, or accountant, or medical professional, or doctor. Then you, from there, you use that profession in the way you understand it without negativity. That is virtue. Understand? You are a virtuous person. You are a virtuous counselor. Where you are upright. You really want to help people. But you are you are allowed to charge, understand or not? It doesn't mean that you must do for free. So we, no. That's why I still get paid as an engineer. I still receive my bonus and all those things. I still know what I'm supposed to do. But things that are not allowable, which I cannot take, I will not take. Do you understand? So everything comes back to your understanding. Are you righteous? Do you have the Dhamma? Do you see the negative implication of whatever wrongdoing behind? These are the defilements that can condition karmic negativity without you knowing it. To you, it's normal to be successful, to become a better person with a better career.
My interpretation is, if you are doing well and you are contributing, we are the agent of change, lah, rather than we are...
Correct. If you are doing well, you are contributing. But the first question is, how did your wealth come from? Did you earn it righteously through proper livelihood? Or do you use deceitful...
I think if you are skillful and you are professional, there is certain code of ethics that you follow.
Correct. Do you understand code of ethics or not? In my university, a lot of we all students, there is a professional exam on code of ethics. No? Do you know what we say? Our professional ethic is for the birds. Only birds practice ethic. But actually, birds also don't practice ethic. Understand? So what we were taught in the uni, it was like very noble. A lot of very noble ethic. But I look at the way they look at ethic, it's completely different. They say, you cannot advertise, you cannot canvas, especially doctor. Yeah? You cannot promote. Even your signboard, colorful, they report to MMA. You know? Oh, then cannot find. You know? A lot of doctor complain. Cannot. Then after that, I say, you cannot undercut. No. Standard scale of fees. So. The lawyer will tell you. Time bo jia. You follow scale of fees. Nobody follows. So how? We all engineering professionals, so we got our scale of fees. So. When you go to private sector, do you know what the private sector tell you? You go scale of fees. Never mind. We look for another consultant. So? You want to compromise or not? That's why you must have understanding. Normally, I will tell them, okay, you don't want to follow skill or fee. Then we have to develop a new way of developing the, what they call, engagement, means appointment. I also don't accept the skill or fee. Our skill or fee is very funny. Engineering especially. You take a highway project. Highway is highway, I understand now. 1 kilometer also highway, 2 kilometer also highway, north, south, 1,000 kilometer also highway. You know what our scale of fee is? Based on project cost one, no? The longer the highway, the scale of fee, a lot of money, you know. Your highway short, very little money. So if motivated by cost of project, you know what the engineer do? Not all, those ethical ones don't do. They make sure the project cost is high, one. Correct or not? Well, my fee is based on the percentage. You know? Understand? Not? You understand? Not? That's why I don't agree. I told them, okay, sometimes they go by man-man. They calculate. So man-man is more fair. What is your input? Then your profit margin, I give it to you. Then we agree on the amount of work you do. Understand? Not? Then the other additional one, we pay you separately. So some go for man-man, but man-man consultant don't like tan bo jia. But the fee becomes so much less. Then sometimes in order to circumvent the man-man, so they put all the director, all the big fellow in. No? Then the client who is very smart, I say, hey, you think I don't know? Your firm only got one senior, maybe very senior. Then the rest, this director, they are involved in so many projects. No? How can you charge me man for the full day? He at the most one day, 1 hour, he give you 1 hour. So they will negotiate with you. But for me, I don't want.
I tell them, your standard project cost, you tell me in the market for this type of building, this type of highway, how much is going to cost you? How much is going to cost you? Huh? There is a reference there, like your property, yeah? Your residential house, got market rate one. Yeah? Okay, we fix this market rate. If I can come up with design below this project cost, are you willing to pay me a higher fee? Then different is there. Then you are motivated by the project cost. With the project cost down, what is the fee? Chicken feed, I pay you. But if your project cost so high, then he has a lower fee. The percentage of the cost is still higher fee. Understand not? So the incentive is you go below, I pay you higher. You go above, I cut your fee. You understand? Then sometimes client agree. The client say, very good, I like this one. Yeah. Do you know now the investment company, the new one, they come up with the idea that I had last time. I said the fund manager was saying they shouldn't do things the standard way. Standard way is, I make money for you. The fee is according to how much I make for you. Understand? Then they don't have reference on. Sometimes lose money also, they charge you the fund management fee. Yeah. So now the new one, if I cannot make money for you, if I cannot match the maybe the inflation rate or what, I don't charge fees, zero my service. But if I hit above, I charge. Now that more fair, isn't it? You understand that? So the fee is something you talk about ethic. We have to go down into all this. But these are worldly things. If you have the understanding, you don't get involved. That's why I leave it to the owner of the company to go and do. Then when I was working for the consultant, which was my classmate's company, I actually look into all this. And I know what he do to get the job and other things. But he is, in a way, because he engaged me, and the client like me, you know, for the fee they pay, they have such a good engineer with them. You know. That's why they love him, and they give him a lot of job. So after I went there, they got a lot of job, and they make a lot of money. There is different input. So it's the understanding, mainly. It's not something rigid that from society you bring over and use it. No point. Okay, we better finish it off. You're supposed to meditate already. Oh, another 6 minutes. Okay. How did we go there? Oh, your question, yeah. Okay. So I finish. So now we let Tammy continue. Okay, Tammy. Part 2, page 34.
Part 2, Heart Sutta Lesson 2.1. Brother Teo just briefly went through it because it is not important.
It's not important.
Below is Master Xuan Hua 8-line verse which Brother Teo advises us to read through before discussing them during the next Heart Sutta class. Number 1. Wonderful wisdom can reach the other shore right now. Number 2. The true mind itself can merge with enlightenment source. 3. Dharma and analogy comprise its title which transcends the relatives. 4. Empty of the characteristic of all Dharma is this substance beyond words. 5. Fundamental non-attachment is its purpose and intent. 6. And by using its power of eradication, the three obstacles are cleansed away. 7. The butter division is determined to be the meaning of this teaching. 8. A maha turning around. This is the Prajna boat.
Okay, next one.
Part 3, Meditation. 3.1. While reviewing email number 3, What is Meditation? Part 2. Baratio came across the 6 hours meditation practice as mentioned by one of the participants, and Baratio had so kindly explained the 6 hour practices to us as below. The monk that introduces these 6 hour practices is quite a good monk, and his 6 hour method or technique, which he also sometimes term it as a form of right effort, is quite useful and good if used as an initial skillful means to train and relax the mind. But as in many instances, they thought the 6R is the meditation, hence the problem. This is also the reason why every time when they are doing the 6R, they thought they are meditating. Anyway, the 6R, as mentioned, consists of the following. First R is recognize. To recognize that your mind has been distracted by a distraction, which may be a pain, a wandering thought, or a tension, itchiness, or numbness within your body manifesting as tactile consciousness or at one of the other sense door consciousness. Second R is release. To release the mind from the distraction and letting it be without clinging on or reacting to it. Third R is relax. To relax the tension or tightness or stress within caused by craving in your forehead, where there is like a membrane that is being tightened. Fourth R is re-smile. This is to relax the body and mind of all tension and stress within. When you smile, you relax, because in order to smile genuinely, there must be a relaxed state of joy and happiness. Fifth R is return. To return to the cultivation of anapanasati, mindfulness of the in and out breath. To train the mundane mind to develop a stable mindfulness leading to heedfulness. Sixth R, repeat. To repeat the above 6R training. Please note that the number 6 step involves a lot of repeated doing by the thought, hence very mechanical or repetitive, leading to thought-based meditation. If one clings on to the doing without understanding what meditation is, so a better way will be to replace the 6R with meditation via the trained mind is silent awareness instead of repeat. This will help improve the refine upon the 6R to make it a lot better and much more useful. Similarly, step number 5 can be stopped once the mind is already trained. Note, the step number 3 and 4 are very similar to our mind sweeping method and metta used to train and relax our mind. So basically, the 6R can be a very useful initial skillful means to train and relax the mind.
Yeah. So this 6R, if you can try it, if it helps you, you can use it. It's quite similar. What he has done is he has modified the thing. Yeah? Modified the thing. So the first R, he says, is to recognize the distraction. Means your mind is no longer in the meditative state. It has been distracted by something. It can be a pain in the body, yeah? Or a tactile feeling, yeah? Or something that distracts you, wandering thought or whatever. Yeah? So when you realize, yeah, that this is going on, means you recognize that the mind is no longer training itself to be mindful, to be aware. So what happens is, you have to, through the awareness, come back to your object of meditation. Then repeat the training of mindfulness. He used anapanasati. That's why he said return. But before he do the return, he wants you to do this few steps. The moment you recognize the distraction, you release it. You know what is release, or not? Release is the third way that the Buddha teach. But he don't use the word release. What did the Buddha tell you?
Just be aware, understand? Just be aware means you recognize that this thing is there, it is giving you a problem, but if you just aware, what happened? This thing will cease, understand? The distraction will cease. But this monk, he say, recognize and release it means letting it be, means accept it. Then have nothing to do with it, he say. Then relax, same as our first support. Relax into it. Relax into it means what? The chi flow, understand? Yeah. Then after relax, he says, re-smile. Means release the stress on your facial muscle, and just smile. It's like doing metta, understand? Then after that, return. Means go back to your object of meditation, train yourself again. But the repeat is wrong, understand? Repeat the whole cycle, means it becomes repetitive. Then every time you reach that state, anapanasati, you don't know how to go to the silent mind. You don't know how to allow it to be until the mind enters sati, until the breath becomes very subtle, then you reach pasati. That part missing. That part is missing. That's why I put it inside there. So with this understanding, you can try out. Because he subdivides into more steps, easy for you to follow. The release stage is actually the same as what the Buddha teaches in the third way. Just aware. Means don't have anything to do with aware. Let it be. Then it will cease. But here, he say release means don't look at it. Come back to anapanasati. Understand? But in the meantime, relax. Then re-smile. Return. So, the way he put it, he got more steps so that you remember to relax. You remember to re-smile. And that will actually give you a break from there. Then after that, you return to anapanasati. So the release part is the part where he say, forget about that one, do the relax. Then re-smile. Then go back to anapanasati. So it's the same, the way you train. Except that when you understand the Buddha's way, it's easier. The Buddha say, aware. You don't have to leave that thing. You stay there. Like anger, hatred, or whatever, pain, itchy, stay there, relax. Then it will cease. The mind will return to normal again, when there is no aversion, no mental hindrance. Okay? You can have your meditation ready. The notes we didn't finish. Okay, you read through the notes, Tammy.
Notes. 1. Have an open mind. When people share with us their understanding, we should appreciate and have mutual respect for each other's understanding. No more trying to be right or arise any unnecessary argument that can lead to disharmony and misunderstanding. Avoid all division and negativities. 2. Pure actions are actions performed without any evil roots or evil motive. When you want to do good or generosity to get merits and your action is out of getting merits or greed for that merit, it is already not a pure action and it will end up with no true merits, for true merits are born of pure action that are free of all the evil roots of greed, hatred and delusion.
Okay, thank you so much, Tammy. Okay, we stop here. So the next one is 9 Heart Sutta class. Okay, you can have your meditation now. Maybe I set the alarm 1 hour. Yeah, 1 hour. Now it's 3:05. So maybe 4 o'clock. 4 o'clock.